Proverbs chapter 1 this evening, reading verses 5 and 6. This is our third message in the book. We're titling the message this evening, A Wise Man and Dark Sayings. Notice with me as we read from verse 5 and 6. Last week, we had looked at the subject of just wisdom and related words. And this evening, we're going to look at the wisdom of a wise man. He says here in verse 5 and 6, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. Heavenly Father, we do ask again tonight for thy blessings to be upon the reading of thy word. Father, we pray tonight that as we look at these two verses and consider them, Lord, we pray that you would speak to our hearts, teach us, Lord, and lead us in the ways of righteousness. And we ask all of these things in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, last week I mentioned to you that the word wisdom occurs over 50 times in the book of Proverbs. Well, the word wise occurs over 60 times in the book of Proverbs. And what we'll do this evening is take a brief look at verse 5 and 6, and I'm going to spend just a little bit of time on a few words in these two verses, and then we're going to look at some characteristics of a wise man or a wise woman. Coming back to verse 5, again, he said, a wise man will hear, will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. Now, basically, when we come to the scriptures and we see the word wisdom and we see the words wise men or wise women, basically, we're talking about biblical wisdom. And that's, for instance, like in James 3, the latter part of the chapter, it gives us a wisdom that is from above and a wisdom that is from below. So we're talking about basically a wisdom that is given to us from God. Now, in the verse that we just read, we find that a wise man, I'll say a wise man or a wise woman, is not only one who has received wisdom as in verse 2, in verse 3, which we talked about last week. It talks about receiving the instruction of wisdom. So a wise man or woman is not only the one who has received wisdom, but it's also one who will hear and continue listening and increasing in listening and seeking out not only wisdom from the Word of God, but wise counselors. We spoke weeks ago on a Sunday morning, the counsel of God. And so when we come here, we see that wisdom is the right use of knowledge. As we mentioned last week, we gave a definition of it. And it has to do with skill in living the Christian life and to apply what we know to be true. Knowledge is accumulation or a storehouse of facts. And when we come to wisdom, it is the right use of that knowledge. You can know a lot of things and never incorporate those things into your life. So when we come to the subject of wisdom, we find that in the book of Proverbs, we find the issue of wisdom in many areas of life, but with our marriage, with our vocations, with children, with finances, and we could go on and on with a list of things showing us how to walk in wisdom. Now, come to with me in verse 6. And again, I just want to make a few comments on these, and then we're just going to stay in the book of Proverbs most of the time and look at some characteristics of wise people in this book. But notice we have in verse 6, he says, in verse 6, and I want you to keep in mind, verse 5, that a wise man will hear, will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. He says in verse 6, to understand a proverb. We find that that's the title of this book in verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon. So to understand a proverb and the interpretation and the words of the wise and their dark sayings. So the wise will understand Proverbs. They will receive the interpretations from God. but they also will understand dark sayings. Now, basically, when we look at the subject of dark sayings, this is kind of a figure of speech, meaning anything that needs an interpretation. I want to give you an example in the book of Psalms, and this will be the only time I'll turn away from the book of Proverbs, is just right here in the beginning. But in Psalms chapter 78, I want to read just a few verses here. And there's many other passages that I could give you on this about dark sayings. Psalms 49 and verse 4 mentions this expression. You say, what is a dark saying? Well, it's anything that needs an interpretation. The knowledge of deep mysteries that we would find in the Word of God. Things that are hard to be understood. The Apostle Paul, the Apostle Peter, rather, in 2 Peter chapter 3, he mentioned in verse 16 that the Apostle Paul, some of the things that he taught, he said, are hard to understand. He said, those who are contrary to God's word, they'll twist and they'll wrestle with those things. In other words, Peter is saying, there's some things that Paul wrote and preached that you need to really think through. You can understand it, but it takes some thought and meditation upon that. That's sort of like a dark saying. And you write down Hebrews 5:14, and also in John 16:25 would also speak of this. But here we'll illustrate it, I believe, in Psalms chapter 78. He says in verse 2, he said, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter dark sayings of old. Now, let me back up and read from verse 1, because the context of this is showing us that the deep things of God, the wisdom of God, the dark sayings of the Lord that He will reveal unto us to reveal unto our children that we can walk in His will. In verse 1, give ear, O people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. So we find in this chapter the parables, the truth, even the dark sayings. He's saying that we will learn them, we will get them from the Lord, we will give them to our children, that our children may give them to their children, in other words, from one generation to the next. Now, as we come back to chapter 1 in the book of Proverbs, I'm going to read one other passage outside of Proverbs, and then we're going to just spend the rest of the time in this book. And if you want to turn there, you can. It's going to hold on to Proverbs 1. It's going to be in Matthew chapter 13. I'm just trying to illustrate the interpretation of a proverb. Some proverbs, you just read it and you say, I understand that. Some proverbs we read and we must think and meditate and do some research. We must study that out. The Queen of Sheba came to Solomon because she heard about all of his wisdom. He was a wise man. And she came, according to 1 Kings 10:1, and she had hard questions to give unto him. He answered them all, and she went back satisfied with that. Ecclesiastes 12:11 speaks of this wisdom. But notice in Matthew chapter 13, and I want to read from verse 10 through verse 17. As we read this, parables sometimes are given to conceal, and they're sometimes given to reveal. But it's the Lord that will give us the interpretation of these. It's the Lord that will open our eyes. Now, let's notice what He says about the people and the disciples. I'm reading from verse 10, Matthew 13. And the disciples came and said to him, why speaketh thou unto them in parables? Now, there are going to be some that will get this and some will not, as today. Some will have their eyes open and others will have their eyes closed. Verse 11, he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Sort of like the deep things of God, the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, the dark sayings that most do not understand. He said in verse 12, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance, but whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And to them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. Why? Because they did not have ears to hear. And we're going to get into that in just a moment. He goes on to say in verse 15, for this people's heart is waxed gross. So the parables was closed to them because they did not have ears to hear. He said, and their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, that I should heal them. Now notice the contrast. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Well, verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. So there are those, when they hear parables, there are some that they will be closed to them. They will not understand them. Others will understand them. Now, going back to the book of Proverbs. Now, notice, again, last week we spoke about wisdom. Tonight, we're going to look, in the remaining of the time, some characteristics of wise people. In other words, we're going to just camp out here in the book of Proverbs. This is one of the verses I didn't read in Matthew. You can just jot it down. It's verse 34 and 35. And it reiterates what we read from verses 10 to 17. So let me go through about 8 or 10 things tonight about a wise person, some characteristics and the character and characteristics of a wise person. Coming back to verse 5, I want you to notice, and this is very simple, but it's profound, that a wise person has ears to hear. Now, we've got several sermons the last 3 years just on listening, being swift to hear and slow to speak, and ears to hear. I can't remember, I think there's 4 or 5 sermons in probably the last 2 or 3 years just along that line. So the first thing this evening is that a wise person has ears to hear. What does that mean? Well, they receive in verse 2, and in verse 5, they hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. Counsels, plural. We're going to see in a moment they will go to the right counselors. So in this passage, to hear is to listen with the intent of obeying. Listening with the intent of obeying. To embrace this truth. Now, we have a lot of examples in scriptures. I'll give you 2 outside of the scripture, but we're going to stay in Proverbs now. One is in Acts 18, verse 24 through 26, and that's Apollos. Apollos was a mighty man in the scriptures. And still yet, Priscilla and Aquila took him aside, and the Bible says that they showed him the way more perfectly. He preached the truth, but he didn't know all the truth. All he knew was the baptism of John. And so they took him aside, and this preacher that was mighty in the scripture, and he sat down and listened to them and left their company and went on and preached what they had taught him. In other words, this man continued to learn and continued to listen. He never arrived at all the truth. He knew that he needed more truth. Samuel, I believe it's in 1 Samuel 3, the Lord, the first time he began speaking to Samuel as a young lad, You know, he wasn't sure where the voice was coming from. He ran to Eli, the high priest. And finally, Eli realized that the Lord was speaking to him. And so what did he do? He listened. And for the rest of his life, he listened and obeyed the Lord. Now, that's the ideal here. We find in verse 7, he said, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." We also find in verses 25 and in verse 30, those who will not listen, that is, having ears to hear. Oh, they might hear it spoken, but not hear it in the sense that they would listen to it intently and obey it. In verse 25, "But ye have set at naught my counsel and would none of my reproof." In verse 30, "They would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof." And he shows the end of those persons in the next two verses. You notice in chapter 8, in verse 33, this whole chapter is speaking of wisdom. And it says in this passage, it says, "Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not." We find again in chapter 19. In chapter 19, and I'll be reading in verse 16. In chapter 19, in verse 16, we have these words, and he said, "He that keepeth the commandments keepeth his own soul, but he that despiseth his way shall die." So first of all, a wise person, I'll just use the word person, because the Bible speaks of wisdom not just for men only, but for women, young people and old people. So a wise person will have ears to hear. Now notice with me in chapter 9, the second thing is that a wise person receive godly rebuke. Notice in chapter 9, reading in verse 8 and 9, you know, today in our society, most don't want any rebuke. But a wise person will receive the rebuke, biblical rebuke, and they'll also love the person that brought the rebuke. That's rare today. He says here in chapter 9, I'm reading in verse 8 and 9, he says, "Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning." How true that is, and how profound that this is. We find here again that many will not receive rebuke today. But a wise person will receive godly rebuke and then in turn love the person that brought the rebuke. That's an amazing thing. We also find that in chapter 15, along this line, in chapter 15, we're just going to be moving around to some verses because we'll eventually camp out in some of these. But in chapter 15, in verse 31, beginning there, said, "The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. He that refuses instruction despises his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility." Again, we'll notice in chapter 17 in verse 10. In chapter 17 and in verse 10, it says, "A reproof entereth more into a wise man than an 100 stripes into a fool." In other words, the wise man or the wise woman will receive the reproof and the rebuke, and a fool, he just don't get it even if you beat him. If you leave stripes on him, he just don't get it, and he's going to hate you for bringing the reproof or bringing the rebuke. Now, number 3, notice with me in chapter 12. Notice with me in chapter 12. We dealt with this about 3 weeks ago dealing with counsels. I went through many of the verses in Proverbs on this. But notice in chapter 12 and verse 15, the third thing is that a wise person will seek wise counselors. Not only seek counsel from the Word of God, but they'll seek wise counselors. In other words, they will not seek out someone who they think will tell them what they want to hear. They'll seek out someone that will tell them the truth, that will tell them the truth. And I know of many that will rebuke the counsel of God, know of many that will receive it. Thank God for those that will receive it. We all should keep learning and keep seeking the Lord. And when we're rebuked in a biblical manner, we should receive that very well. And but notice now as we come to chapter 12 in verse 15, it says, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that heareth, hearkeneth rather, unto counsel is wise." You see, the fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. And again, we would see, let me just go through a few, and we gave you these a few weeks ago, but in chapter 11, verse, not that one. I'm going to go to chapter 15, verse 22. Chapter 15 and verse 22. This is where we're talking about counselors, plural, going to godly counselors. It says in verse 22, "Without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in a multitude of counselors, they are established." Notice that. So a multitude of counselors. We just need to make sure we go to the right counselors. We find this again in chapter 20 and in verse 18. In chapter 20 and in verse 18, we don't want to go to someone that will just make us feel good. We want to go to someone that will take the scriptures and show us what they believe that God has said to us. Many, many years ago, in the first 5 years of this church, I got to know a man, and him and his wife were having some marital issues, and they had went to some counselors, and he finally called me and said, "Can we come and talk to you?" I said, "As long as both of you come." And so we sat down. We became very good friends after this, and they were in a church in Mobile. We sat down right back here, him and his wife, and my wife and I, and sat down. He said, "The reason we're coming to you is that we believe that you will tell us the truth. You'll not just tell us something that feels good or whatever." And so anyway, we were able to help them, and we became good friends. And they even visited the church here from time to time after that. Well, notice in chapter 20, it says here, "Every purpose is established by counsel, and with good advice make war." We see this again in chapter 24. In chapter 24, and I'm reading in verse 5 and 6, we find here in this passage, "A wise man is strong." Now think about that. That would tell me that a fool is weak. I'm talking about spiritual things. He says here, "A wise man is strong, yea, a man of knowledge increases strength. For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in the multitude of counselors there is safety." Sometimes we just need to talk to somebody else. But we want to make sure that we talk to the right person. Talk to someone who loves God, who's someone who knows a little bit about His Word and can give us good counsel. As a matter of fact, we find that in chapter 3, notice in chapter 3, I'm just reading in verse 1, chapter 3, verse 1. All of these verses we will spend time on. Notice in chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments." Children, wise children, who are they? Children that listen to their parents. And you can write down also chapter 13 and verse 20. Chapter 13 and in verse 20, because I want to read a few other verses in this chapter. 13, verse 20, and this is not the passage I'm wanting either. I'll think of it a little bit later, probably. In other words, we find that wise men hang out with wise men. In other words, they make friends with other wise men that are seeking godly counsel. They don't hang out with fools. They hang out with wise men. All right, let's come to our fourth point. And right here in chapter 3, I'm going to read verses 5, 6, and 7, very familiar verses. But a wise man or a wise person does not follow their heart. The only way you can even trust your heart at all, because the Bible speaks of depravity of heart, the only way you can trust your heart at all is if it is illuminated by the Holy Spirit and by the Word of God. It says in verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. So a wise person, they do not follow their heart. Again, your heart can be right if it's illuminated by Scripture and by the Holy Ghost. Let's look at this again in chapter 28. Notice with me in chapter 28. In chapter 28, I'm reading in verse 26. Chapter 28 in verse 26. He says here, and he that trusteth in his own heart is a what? Is a fool. But whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. So it's the fool that trusteth in his own heart. It's the wise person that will trust in the Lord instead of following their own heart. All right, now let's notice the fifth thing is in chapter 10. In chapter 10, these are just, again, over 60 times we have the word wise. And notice in chapter 10. All right, now, here we see that a wise person controls their tongue. And there's so many verses. James chapter 3, the entire chapter is dealing with the tongue. In Matthew chapter 15 and verse 19, what's in the heart will be manifested in the tongue. What's inside of us will be seen or will be heard. We find here in Proverbs chapter 10 and in verse 19, it says, in the multitude of words there wanteth not sin. In other words, there lacketh not sin. But he that refraineth his lips is wise. In other words, the wise man or woman, boy or girl, the wise person controls their tongue. The only way to control the tongue is to control the heart. We find also, notice as we look into this passage in verse 13, in the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found. But the rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. We also find that in verse 31, the mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but the froward tongue shall be cut out. We find also in chapter 12, reading in verse 18, he said, there is that speaketh like the piercing of the sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. So there are words that comes from the fool's mouth that wounds other people. But we find the words of those who are wise, godly wisdom, they will bring health and they'll bring healing to another individual. Notice also in chapter 15 and in verse 1. Verse 1 and 2. It says here, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. That is, harsh words. In verse 2, the tongue of the wise uses knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. So again, a wise person controls their tongue. They choose the words carefully before they speak them. We should not have to be every day apologizing for things that we have said. We just think before we say them. We will not have to be doing that. Also in verse 7, it said, the lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the foolish doeth not so. And we would see this truth again in chapter 29, verse 11, and in verse 12. Now the sixth thing, notice with me in chapter 11. in chapter 11. Number 6, a wise person winneth souls. It says here in chapter 6, reading in verse 30, it said, the fruit that is the result of righteousness is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Now, we're not talking about the number games. We're not talking about, you know, me sitting down and comparing with you or you comparing with somebody else. How many of you led to the Lord? We're not talking about that. We're told when he talks about he that winneth souls, we're talking about those who have a heart for souls. That includes our prayers. How many really pray for souls? That includes our witnessing to them, taking the opportunity, whether it be on the job or wherever it's at. And then that includes just simply a godly life and testimony among them. So it includes all those things. It's just simply speaking to others in our actions and in our words and in our life about the Lord Jesus Christ. So we find that he that winneth souls is wise. That's very important. Notice with me in chapter 10 again, and notice with me this time in chapter 10, reading in verse 5. A wise person prepares for the future. Notice as we come here, they look into the future, they prepare, they're not foolish and they're not wasters. And he says here in this passage, chapter 10 and verse 5, he that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causes shame. In other words, someone who not only will work, but someone who is looking ahead, someone is wise. Let me illustrate this. Notice in chapter 6. In chapter 6, reading in verse 6, he says here, he said, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. That little bitty tiny creature has something built into it by God. And this ant, he said, go to the ant, thou sluggard, and consider her ways and be wise. Why would we want to consider an ant? Because it follows the instinct that God has put in it to make preparations for the future. Notice again in chapter 30. In chapter 30. We find here in chapter 30, and I'm reading toward the end of the chapter, chapter 30, verse 25. And he said here, the ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. You know, when most folks were farmers, they had to prepare in the summers to have food for the livestock and also themselves for the winter. I mean, I've done some of that growing up. You had to make a lot of preparations. You had to know how to take the potatoes and preserve them and keep them at the right temperatures and all that kind of stuff. We used to put lime on them, put hay over top of them, and just all kind of things like that that we did. So a wise person looks into the future, or they prepare for the future. But notice in chapter, I give you chapter 14 and verse 1, said every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish pluck it down. But notice with me in chapter 21. I want to read this to you, chapter 21. You know what the fool does? They usually will spend every dime and waste what they got. I found this quote. It's talking about people working, and, you know, God tells us in His Word, He tells us how to make money, how to use money, how to save money, how to spend money, how to give. And He tells us all these things. We'll find this in the book of Proverbs. And he'll even talk to us about loaning and everything else. But one writer said this, I wrote this down, and he said, speaking of people, the fool will spend everything they got, and the wise will save. He'll spend wisely and he'll save. And he said, it is not the high cost of living that ruins men, but the cost of high living. I thought that was good. Here in Proverbs chapter 21 in verse 10, we have these words. It said, the soul of the wicked desireth evil, his neighbor findeth, and that's it. That's the third time that I've got a missed reference. But anyway, I'll find it later and give it to you. But it's speaking of a soul. He'll waste, he'll spend everything that he's got. Never save anything and just spend everything that he's got. Well, notice in chapter 28, let me give you two other things. Chapter 28 and reading in verse 7. Chapter 28 and in verse 7. The ninth thing, or the eighth, I guess the eighth, the wise keep God's law. The wise, the foolish will not adhere to his law. In chapter 28 in verse 7, whoso keepeth the law is a wise son, but he that is a companion of righteous men shameth his father. This go for a young person or adult, either one. But the wise keep the law of God. And you can write down verses 4 and verses 9 in with that. Notice just two other things. Number 9, chapter 10 again. Chapter 10. We find in chapter 10 and verse 14, I want you to notice here that the wise lay up knowledge. In other words, they retain the truth of God for guidance in their lives. In chapter 10 and verse 14, he said, wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. A wise person will gain wisdom and knowledge, and they will retain that so that it will be available to them when it is needed. I'm going to close in chapter 3, coming back to this chapter again. In chapter 3, one verse here, and that's going to be in verse 35. The last thing this evening, number 10, is the wise shall inherit glory. Shall inherit glory. In other words, their future is bright. Now, if you wanted to make a list, you've got about 60 verses to choose from. I've only picked out a few. But if you wanted to make your own list, what are some of the character and characteristics of the wise, well, this book, you don't even have to leave this book. We could go to other places and look at wise men, but we have all that we need right here. Chapter 3 and in verse 35, the wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. In other words, the wise shall enter into God's presence and live eternally with him. Isn't that a wonderful thing? So we need to be wise in the things of God. We need to be wise and have godly wisdom and walk in that wisdom. And God has promised many blessings, a multitude of blessings. Would you stand with me? Heavenly Father, we thank thee tonight for thy word and the truths that you've given us. Help us to believe them. Help us to obey them, incorporate these principles into our own lives. And Lord, just help us as we work our way through this book, that it be a blessing to all of us and that we will be better for going through it. And Lord, that we'll be better servants and more pleasing to thee. For it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.